You're listening to The Soul Chronicles, the podcast navigating life and times in the sneaker industry, Hollywood, and corporate America.
So here we are, another episode of The Soul Chronicles. We are very much looking forward to today's episode where we are talking about our experiences working with none other than Diddy. I know he has a lot of different names, but we're going to say Diddy today.
That's what we're going with. We picked one and we're going to stick with it, Diddy.
Yes.
So yeah, I'll kick off on this one, Muhammada, because I did have a couple light touches with Diddy, and then you sort of elevated the relationship when you took over the music marketing role at Nike and took it to a whole nother level. And I am just so proud of what you were able to create with him. So I do want to give you the floor to talk a little bit about that project. But I started out working with Diddy as the music marketing manager at Nike, and I had a really deep relationship with his then assistant. I think her name was Norma. I mean, me and Norma were on the phone probably almost every other day. Mm-hmm. And we were able to, at that point, we were doing specialty product for him for his tour. So if you go back in the day, like More Money, More Problems, pretty much anything with Mace and Diddy, the videos, the shiny suits, you'll see a bunch of Nike product in those videos. And so that was my work. And then we would also do special makeups for him. And that's where we take an existing Nike product and put his tour logo on it, or maybe his name or whatever he wanted on the product. And we would, at Nike's cost, send those to him, and maybe as a wrap gift for the tour, he would hand those out to everybody, or they may even wear them while they were on the tour. And so that was pretty much my relationship with them. I had quite a few interactions with Diddy. I never had any issues or drama with him. But like I said, Norma was really the glue in that relationship. And then Muhammada, you came along and you were able to elevate the relationship from just him wearing the product in videos and just doing those special makeups to a whole other thing that I think it was the template for something really cool that Nike is still doing to this day. So tell us your sneaker story about Diddy.
Yeah. One interesting thing about, like, Diddy went to Howard. He's from New York. So a lot of those people who are part of Diddy's team, from Groovy Lou to Mike B, Lou Tucker, like all those guys, like I knew them already. You know what I mean? I knew them before I came to work at Nike. So it was just
kind of
like,
Shout out to Groovy Lou. That was my dude. Go ahead, Muhammada.
Yeah. Definitely shout out to Groovy Lou, who, I mean, was just a close confidant of Diddy, but also his stylist and a stylist for a lot of other celebrities, Biggie and Rick Ross and Lil Wayne, just like a ton of people. Just, he was just like naturally just stylish, is naturally just stylish and fashionable. And when people wanted that vibe, Diddy wanted that vibe. So Groovy Lou would just be responsible for just keeping him really like what was hot in the streets. You know, he never wanted to lose that. So yeah, we worked really, really closely. I actually got burned though one time by one of Diddy's assistants, you know what I mean? Because we just had such a close relationship. They would just maybe like fax us over. Can you imagine fax? Do people even still do that? I don't even know.
No, maybe over internet.
right. You know, like one of his like assistants sent me this thing, like Diddy was doing this basketball, requesting like all this product. And because I did so much with them, I just like sent it over, later found out that assistant did not work for him anymore. And I was like, okay, let me, you know.
Girl, people always scamming, right?
Yeah.
Always some kind of scammer in the mix.
You know, you win some, you lose some. Okay. We didn't lose many, but yeah, no. Definitely lost on that one. So yeah, so that definitely worked for Diddy and all the artists on like Bad Boy and his different projects over the years. And then one of the last projects that I just did before I left Nike, Nikita, I told you earlier, I felt like I was like, when the president leaves in those last couple months, he's like pardoning criminals. Like, this was one of these projects that I just was like, I'm going to make sure this thing gets done before I leave. We spoke a lot about how our department, entertainment marketing, was used in departments all throughout the brand to see how we could leverage celebrity and entertainers to make products hot and initiatives and things like that. And so by this time I had left LA, I was working in New York, and the team in New York, we had been having meetings about Nike Running, and just that New York was such a basketball focused market that they were just looking at how to make running hot, how to make running exciting, and they wanted us all to come up with some ideas. So that was that on one side. Now, separately, I started getting these calls from Diddy's team, right? Now, what happened now? So, Nikita, there was this issue of Black Enterprise that had come out, right? And it was like the 50 most, like the 50 most important Black people in sports, right? That was like the issue. Now, at this time, Trevor Edwards was the, what was he?
CMO.
Okay, so he was CMO, right? So he was in this particular issue. And people didn't know that this Black guy, Trevor was Black American, Jamaican American or whatever, he was Black, and he was on the list. And so, like, I guess Diddy's people had, some people just assumed because we were like young and Black that we just couldn't make what they wanted happen, right? They would just kind of like dismiss us sometimes. So they called Oregon. Somebody on Diddy's team called Oregon to talk directly with Trevor. Okay.
Okay, then. Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck with that, right? I'm like, okay. So guess what happened? Trevor calls me, Mohammeda. I just want to let you know that somebody from Diddy's office called me. I don't want to be rude and not respond to them, but I'm just going to let you know that I'm going to tell them that they need to speak to you, which I had a lot of respect for that. That's what we wished everybody at the brand would do, right?
At some point, we're going to have a whole episode about things that we wish people in brand marketing would do. But yes, that is one of them. Go, continue.
Yes. Okay. So he called me. He gave me the heads up. So, but at the same time, they had been calling me at the same time. I guess they were reaching out to Trevor at the same time. So fine. Then one of them called me. I feel like maybe it was like Jameel, somebody, I don't know. They're like, listen, the reason why we called Trevor is because Diddy is preparing to run the marathon. And we want a brand to be a part of this journey. And we've been doing so much with you guys over the years. We would love for it to be you. Right? They didn't really know exactly what they wanted, how they wanted a brand to be involved. They just know he's running a marathon, so a sports company should be involved. And I was like, wow, that's amazing, because like I just been having meetings with Nike Running about what could be done to excite people about running. The crazy thing is, I just thought this was like a beautiful marriage. Like, this is perfect. But when I went to like the running guys and mentioned this, they just did not see a fit. They were like, Diddy, the rapper Diddy? Like, what does that have to do with running? Like, how you running? What? Oh my God. So I had to, and we did this for a lot of people, because I heard you mention this in another episode. I literally had to put a presentation together about like Diddy's relevance to pop culture and his businesses that he owned and his awards, like a whole thing. Like, it should have just been a no-brainer, but
right,
it wasn't. And I really pushed when I spoke to Diddy on the phone, right? They called and like, listen, hey, Diddy is on the phone and he wants to speak to you. Now, I had been dealing with his team, and I'm funny about celebrities. Like, I don't have to like hang out with them. I don't have to know them. As long as the people who are around them can get them to do the things that I need, I'm okay. So I hadn't really interacted with him a lot. I just knew everybody on the team to get what I needed done. Yeah, so this was probably our first time talking, right? So he called me on the phone and he's like, listen, so I'm doing this, I'm running the marathon, and I wanna do something with Nike. I want Nike to be down with it. And however I answered, he must have thought I was kind of brushing him off. I was like, yeah, I'll admit it. I'll talk to the running. He was like, whoa, listen, I know you a young Black sister over there, and I know they be trying to take all your ideas, so I want you to own this. I want you to take the idea, right?
He got in that head. I love it.
I was like, you know what? The thing is, because that's exactly true.
Well, yes, he was right.
He just knew that as a young Black woman at any big company, he already knew that that's exactly what was happening. And of course, that's exactly what was happening. But at this time, I probably had a couple more weeks left at Nike. I mean, maybe like a month. I knew that I was leaving. And I was just, this was again, like I said, after he said that, I said, you know what? I'm gonna try my best to like really make this happen for him. And I put together a whole program that I called Diddy Runs the City, right? And just again, looked at all the different ways that it could impact the business, right? In terms of like Nike Town and our e-commerce and just running as a whole. And then Diddy is known for throwing parties, amazing parties. And I'm like, how can we do something related to the marathon? People know marathon runners before, the night before the marathon, they usually have these like pasta dinners. And I was like, Diddy should host a Nike kind of like pasta dinner party pre-marathon, right? So just kind of like all these different ideas that I put together. And the thing is, I was leaving, so I wasn't going to be involved in any of them. I just figured if I put together a killer plan, and a strategy, that some smart people at Nike should be able to execute it. So essentially that's what happened, because I left after I kind of like pushed this thing through. I was out. This was like one of the last kind of projects that I did at the brand.
Wow. And I still remember to this day how huge Diddy Runs the City was. And I believe, this is my personal opinion, that it was a template for what they later would do with Kevin Hart, which was Move with Heart. And I really definitely want people to very carefully listen to and understand just sort of all the steps that it took to get something like that done within the context of a huge brand like Nike. I mean, very first step was, one, get people to believe. And so I think people who right now are listening and they're trying to figure how to either launch some sort of new idea within their company or trying to gain some sort of support for a project, I mean, the first thing you have to do is get people to believe. And one way to do that is through a really bomb presentation. And as part of the presentation, I know what you did was just your research and your statistics and having, you know, all the materials to back up, like why it made sense to do this project with someone like him. And the most beautiful thing was that it definitely fell in line with our role in terms of initiatives. You know, like we've said before, particularly at Nike, whether it was running, basketball, soccer, golf, Jordan Brand, the women's business, tennis, there is a particular focus that these brands are going to have behind certain products that they want to push. And at this particular time, running was the product that they were going to push. So duh, this person is running an actual marathon. Why I even have to sell this into you is beyond what my mind can comprehend. But okay, fine. If that's what you want, here you go. And I do think that your ability to present such a compelling statement of support for why we wanted to make this happen was really integral to getting it done, and to be able to lay out such a brilliant roadmap that people could follow it even though you had moved on.
I think Trevor had been kind of like dialed into this kind of like Diddy relationship. It's another reason why it happened. I'm going to tell you this, because by this time, Nikita, you didn't work for Nike anymore, right? And the way we operated at the company with the new associate director, I'm not even calling her name, was very, very different. I think in some of these episodes, we're calling out people's names in different divisions. Like when you were there, we had complete access to anyone at the company. Like I could call anyone. If I had a client who was interested in golf, I could call the Nike golf person and just say, hey, are you interested in doing this? Or was this an idea? Like, you know, I could call anybody. We had that freedom and we got things done that way. But girl, after you left, that new lady who came,
she wanted
to be the like intermediary. Like, to be honest, I don't even think I was allowed to call Pam directly anymore. And you knew the kind of open relationship that we always had. It was like nothing could be done without telling this woman. And who was new? She didn't even know anything about the brand. She didn't know anybody who worked there. She didn't know how we had been operating. She just knew that she wanted to be in charge. And this whole running thing probably would have never happened because, like, she probably would have tried to, like, shut it down. But because Trevor, like I said, was kind of, like, already a part of it, like, so that means I was actually allowed to communicate with him without her being the intermediary. So things could happen and move a lot faster. And crazy enough, I found out that when I left, that she was the one telling everybody that it was her idea. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm. Right, which is why people need to get you out of the middle. And I think from my perspective, listen, I always want to champion the people who work on my team. And one of the ways, because people are always nowadays trying to figure out how to be better leaders, one thing that you can do is give the people on your team visibility to key decision makers. Like, it's one thing for me to be able to tell a VP, oh, Muhammad is amazing, she's really brilliant. It's another thing altogether for me to open a door, step aside, and let you speak for yourself and let them see for themselves the kind of brilliant that you are. So that's going to do a couple things. Number one is it raises your profile. And that VP may not be at our brand forever. They may go on to work for another brand. And you may want to work over there, right? Or 2, 3, 4 years down the line, your paths may cross. And now you have that relationship. So that's number one. The other thing that it does is it helps me in trying to get people the money and the benefits that they deserve. If I can call a VP and say, yeah, so Muhammad, this is her review. I know our standard review is 3%. But as you know, based on your interactions with her, that this is a person that we need to do better for, right? And so, from my perspective and my personal leadership goal is to always be able to put people in a great position so that they can further their own career without me. And then also, I want to be able to do the very best I can for people. And it's difficult because otherwise I'm just making an argument for someone that people don't know. And it sounds like it's my own personal preference. And that sometimes is hard when you have two Black women working together. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I just want to do that for her because she's your friend.
Right.
And it's like, no, sir, no, ma'am. So from my perspective, that was really important. But that second person who came in was a beast. And I can't even tell you how many of you just kept calling me and crying literally about what was happening. And it really broke my heart. But I had to just say, listen, you guys better get on board with that person because from what I'm seeing, they will get rid of all of you and bring in their own people. So stop calling me. Figure out a way to make this work.
Yeah, so Diddy ran the marathon, which is another, I mean, we spoke before about people like Snoop and different people who have always been able to pivot in their careers and just kind of do things differently. I mean, what other rappers have run the marathon? I mean, that types of commitment and dedication, that was a huge thing. So that was another reason why I just wanted to like support his efforts because that was like a major personal feat that didn't have anything to do with music or entertainment. It just was like him setting a personal goal and wanting to achieve it. And he did run that marathon. He did.
And don't you think too, I mean, did you have any sort of affinity for this because you used to be a runner also?
I mean, I never ran a marathon. I have run a half marathon before, but just to really be supportive of, like I said, someone who was setting such a high personal goal outside of entertainment. I just thought that was something that he should be given some support. So yes, I was a runner and that was exciting for me. And I, you know what? I also felt like young Black people should be get into other things besides basketball. Like, we can be distance runners. I mean, it's good for your health, which is healthy practices. So I think there were a few reasons why I really felt it was important to kind of like support the effort that he was doing. Young Black people could be like, yeah, oh, running is cool now? Oh, okay, well, let me get into that. Diddy's doing it? Oh, okay, it must be cool now. So a lot of that went into the thought too.
Yeah, and I think one thing that Diddy has done for his career that we oftentimes see brands doing too is just continuing to evolve mm-hmm. and figuring out how to remain a part of the cultural conversation. So whether it's Diddy or Snoop, you know, you just see these people who can continually, sometimes we say reinvent themselves, but I tend to think of it more as evolving because mm-hmm. it's not like they became a whole nother person, like that didn't happen.
Right.
But what they did do was they somehow educated themselves in another area, whether it's TV now, whether it's film now, or whether it's finance now, put the right people around themselves in order to be able to now enter another segment of entertainment. And brands have to do that all the time. I mean, brands have to continually evolve. And a brand like Nike is a really great case study on how that happens. I mean, Phil Knight with just the waffle trainer, right? And then figuring like, okay, making shoes for runners is great, but we can also make shoes for football players or soccer players or tennis players. And then, oh, that's really wonderful and that's great, but we can also now make equipment. So we can make golf clubs and make basketballs. We can enter other types of the business. And then feeling like, oh, okay, this is all well and fine. Now we can enter accessories. So now we can make watches. We can make eyewear, right? And so I do think that people who want to work for a brand, some people may be looking to transition their careers and want to work at a brand. So some of these interesting correlations between entertainers, between brands, and then between you. How is your career evolving, right? What are you looking at that's on the horizon where you can say to yourself, well, I know I've done this traditionally, but now maybe I see something else out here and I want to try that. And so what do I need to do? Who do I need to surround myself with? What do I need to read? What sort of course online do I need to take to now make my entry into this other type of industry more possible? As just that very thread that can go from a celebrity is doing it, a brand is doing it, okay, now I can sort of follow some of these steps and do it for myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really important for people like us to work at some of these brands, just because we have, you know, they say representation is matters and is key. And because we understand like the artists, we know them, they're like us. I'm like, all the rappers that I dealt with, I just felt like they were like the cousins, my boy cousins, you know what I mean? Like, you know, and I knew what it meant to be in the places where they were at this time. You know what I mean? It's not easy to be there. Like, it's just not easy. And to run the types of businesses that they were running, I mean, these are not, you know, Diddy's not like a person who, I mean, he did eventually rap, but like, he's a business guy, right? I mean, it's not a big thing. We know what it's like for us to be on the inside of these companies. And I mean, he's trying to like, he's not trying, he's building his own thing. So I just feel like understanding like their perspective is really key. So it's important for us to, more people like us to be on the inside.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just helps too, particularly if you're talking about branding or marketing that is segmented, right? So if you are a brand, if you're leading a brand and you are marketing to a particular segment of the population, if you don't have people on your team from that segment group, then it's just a matter of time before you start to run into all types of issues. Issues around, you know, cultural sensitivity, issues around consumers being upset that they don't see themselves represented in a way that is true to them. And so back in the day, I think it was difficult and it was hard because brands didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. Now I think people may, and it's my hope and my dream, that people do have an easier time not only getting roles at some of these really well-known brands, but also being able to rise in the ranks. Because as you know, Mohammeda, landing a role is hard, right? It's not easy, like we've said before, but being stuck in a role is just kind of soul, sort of like rips out your parts of your soul when you're like stuck someplace. Not only should people be looking at landing roles at some of these brands, but also thinking about, okay, now how can I rise within the ranks? And that's really going to take all of us working together to make sure that people don't, that the end goal is not just to land at one of these brands. You really want to get yourself into a decision-making position.
Or take that knowledge to run your own thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. As we've seen in the sneaker industry, I mean, there are several people who we know who left and started their own brands and are doing well at that. So yeah, I would love to see that even more so, to your point, of than people just looking to rise within brands. But you're right, having that, the fortitude and the knowledge to also be able to acquire the knowledge and then go off and do your own thing. And I think you're a really good example of that, of just starting your own things. I mean, even your story of just picking up and moving to Ghana and starting the business that you have there, which we haven't really talked about at all.
This show is kind of about, you know, some of those other experiences. But I will say this, from the work that I'm doing now, I take a lot of the experiences that I had, which is rare. I mean, it's just rare for any kind of like a young Black person to have that kind of very, very high level corporate experience, right? So that's something that even the work that I do now in my marketing agency, that differentiates me from like almost everybody else, because there are almost nobody here who has that kind of experience. I understand brands at a very, very deep level in terms of like their marketing cycles and their campaigns and their strategies. And that plays a big role in definitely in the work that I do.
And actually getting them to be able to move the needle on their product, because I think that's the other thing that brands are looking for. And then we're talking brand specific, because that's the business that you're in. But when you do go out to launch on your own, like, people want to see results. Everybody is out here talking a good game about what they can do, right? Mm-hmm. But it's a whole other ball game to be able to back that up and be able to come up with really unique strategies that do cause them to acquire more customers,
yeah,
or get more site visitors or more visitors to maybe even a property, right? If it's a hotel that you're representing, let's say. So I think that having all these experiences, creating some of these plans, knowing how to put the plans together. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was just shocked at times when I would have roles available at Nike that I was trying to fill. And I would go to New York, I would go to Chicago, I would go to places in LA and just conduct interview after interview after interview and have people come in who just didn't even know what a PowerPoint was. Mm-hmm. And these are people who were coming from music. They were coming from, a lot of people were coming from the music industry because I had a music role to fill. And I was just like, what are they even depositing into you, mm-hmm, in these record companies? Like, are they not teaching you how to make the case for something? Are they not teaching you how to represent yourself in a board meeting? It was just very, very, very troubling for me to see that a lot of industries don't even take the time to pour back into the people who are making them hot.
Well, great. I mean, I think this is a great episode. I mean, yeah, it was a good experience. Again, just like, you know, looking at ways of how we work with artists. It wasn't just about like parties or free sneakers. It was looking at being strategic for them and for the brand. So I think that Diddy's story definitely kind of showcased that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
this has been so much fun. I'm really glad that you guys decided to hang out with us for this entire episode. We hope you learned something. We also hope that you will share the video, that you'll visit us on all our social channels at The Soul Chronicles. And we'll see you next time when we share our next story. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to The Soul Chronicles, the podcast navigating life and times in the sneaker industry, Hollywood, and corporate America. Be sure to join us for another exciting episode.